You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
You know, whenever we play that traffic, I'm reminded of the George Carlin bit, which talks about the two types of people that are on the road besides you. There's the person that's lost, or maybe they're going a little slow, and there's a term for them. We don't need to say it. But
Miami.
they're you know,
they're,
and then
just
there's the people
in Miami.
Yeah, and then there's the people that go flying by you, and they're just the maniacs. So hey, we've got somebody who's a thought leader in the real estate industry. We want to thank our folks at IMN for bringing Steve Laterra. He's the managing director of Myers Research up in Phoenix. He spent much of his career as a real estate analyst and as an investor. He's also involved in a bunch of extracurricular activities, including the National Kidney Foundation of Arizona. So we're going to talk to him about that. But let's first find out what Steve's got on his mind. Steve, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's certainly a pleasure to be part of it.
Hey, we really enjoy having you, too. Now, before we get started, I want to remind everybody that they can meet you. And, hey, I'll be there, too, at the IMN conference. And that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So, Steve, now, tell us a little bit about what you guys are seeing in the marketplace.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the market is defined by a lot of different things, but this particular time in our industry is actually perhaps one of the most interesting times I've experienced in the last 30 years as an observer of the market. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, realistically, what we're looking at is a pretty healthy housing market throughout the country. And in most areas, it's defined as such. Some areas are pockets of concern for a number of reasons, but what's interesting is we all have to operate within an environment that's defined by politics, capital flows, and a lot of other things that we really have no control over. And yet, despite all the challenges we're facing, we're doing pretty good right now. And that hasn't been the case for about the last 7 or 8 years, maybe as long as 10 in some markets. But now we're starting to look and feel a little bit better. This has been a really, really strong beginning selling season of this 2017. And we're looking forward to the balance of the year being pretty good as well. A lot of reasons for that, of course.
So you're seeing the market being strong or a little slower than history? I mean, there's been a lot of pent-up demand. I mean, what are the reasons behind all of that?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, we're watching a number of things that would kind of help us define what that is. And your first question was about how do we look in relation to, our historical potential. And right now we're coming back as a country. We're still operating way below our potential, way below what the peak was. You know, we were doing 1.1, 1.2 new home sales in the peak of the market. We're now at about 560,000. So that was our 2016 total. That is, you know, if you're doing the math, that's half of the total. And so we could do much better, but we're trending upwards, and we were quite a bit lower for several years. So what we've been looking at is really three or four different things. We've been looking at the political climate, although that's a big hot potato. We're not really sure what to make of it. We're looking at consumer behaviors, affordability, and mortgage rates. Those are the three or four things we think are going to help define 2017 as a housing market. And we can certainly dive into each of those if you'd like, but it's nonetheless a very interesting times. Somebody once said, live in interesting times. We're certainly living in them.
Well, you know, you talked a little bit about the mortgage industry, and I think that the mortgage industry and the underwriting and availability of capital in the mortgage industry drove us to that historic peak, and I don't think that missing that peak for that reason is all that bad. I think that as an American taxpayer, I don't want to go through that again. But, you know, a lot of people use I call it the M word. I don't talk about it a lot. I refer to the people that are under 40 a lot. For economic purposes, we'll talk about it. You know, the millennials have shifted to rental housing. We've got this real shared economy. I've got the guys at Warren Henry talking to me about how their new concepts in car sharing and ride sharing are going to work out. I was just at an event today where they had the WeWork folks talking about office space sharing. What are you seeing as the impact on this new generational bulge coming in that I guess really hasn't started the real marriage and household formation part yet?
You know, it's a great question. I think the millennials, and I know we throw that term around loosely, but it is a generation defined basically by those born starting in about 1980 and going for the next 15 years or so. And if you look at doing the math, you'll find that generation is now kind of entering that prime home buying age. So the oldest of that generation is in their mid-30s. Actually, I might say mid to late 30s at this point. And because of a lot of the things that they've faced in their lives, They've gone to this kind of sharing economy. They've accepted it. They've embraced it. But they also are now facing the same realities that all the rest of the generations in the past faced, you know, in terms of forming households and wanting to be in good school districts and wanting a safe environment. And there was a study done by the Urban Land Institute about 3 years ago on this particular segment of our economy. And it turned out that this generation actually has a higher propensity to buy homes than previous generations. And I found that extremely interesting because that's not what you read in the press. You find everybody is now in this generation moving to the inner city and they're moving into these rental communities so they can have walkability. That's a great segment when you're 25. It's a great place to be. But when you get to those buying ages, which is now into the mid-30s, I think we're going to start to see the behavior change. And quite frankly, I think this is the year 2017 when we're actually starting to see that happen.
You know, one of the things that I find to be the most valuable, and this is, we've done a couple of loans on, one of my clients is doing this right now. I find the close in, call it transitional housing, not suburbia, but a person can have a car and a half. They can have a backyard with a hot tub or maybe a place where the kid can have a basketball court. And I think that you're going to see more of that on the urban infill and not maybe as much as the far out urban sprawl just because of lifestyle issues. What's your thought on that?
Well, and we've certainly seen that occur over the last few years. And if you kind of take that to the next level with the proliferation of Uber and Lyft and some of the other kind of ride-sharing technology, what you'll now have is less of a need for these young families to have two, three, or four cars, many of which they did in the past, or at least our generations did. So now you may have one car as a family. You could still get around. You can still be walkable. But let's think about that. If you have a car and you've got a $300 or $400 a month payment just to maintain that car, that money is now available to you to be used for housing and other things. So that actually is a trend we're starting to see. The other thing we're starting to see is the fact that, yes, there's college loans and there's other things that are impacting this generation, perhaps disproportionately to previous generations. But the reality is this is a very discretionary group, but they still are looking for housing, as we all have. So I do know that this trend is ultimately going to move back into the suburbs. This generation is going to be there. They're going to behave much like we previously have done. However, it's just taking them longer to get there.
Now, one last question before we roll it over and get a couple of spots in here. I did want to ask you how Wall Street is viewing real estate today, both, I guess, Wall Street and also international, especially here in Miami. International is a big part. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because last year was such a peak year for international capital flowing into the market, and actually in some cases kind of blocked out some of the institutional money from domestically here in the U.S. But the reason it's so important is this is the money that funds our business. Without leverage, without the ability to use equity, we just couldn't afford the real estate that we have simply because of the prices. I expected this year to be of a transition year so that we might see a downtick in the amount of money coming into our industry. And now that I've been through a series of meetings, a series of programs like we're going to have next month in Miami, there are now a number of things that have changed my mind. I do believe that international capital will continue to flow into our market at an alarming rate, maybe you might say, simply because domestically in their countries, and I'll use China as an example, they have negative interest rates and they have political instability. They're trying to get their money out of it so they can keep it. The alternative is they keep it where they are and they potentially lose it. So they don't necessarily play for the same kind of return that our U.S. companies will. And so I expect this year to be another maybe record year in terms of capital flowing into our market. Just the geographies where it's coming from are going to start to change. And I'll look at Brazil because, of course, that is a big influence on the Miami market. And that, as you know, because of the recessionary situation they've got down there, has been trending negative. But for the most part, international capital, Europe and Asia, has been coming in at alarming rates and to the positive.
What I want to do is I want to remind everybody that Steve is here thanks to IMN. IMN is going to have its real estate private equity forum and land building on land, home building, and condo development for the East Coast. It's going to be April 4th and 5th here in Miami. And for our listeners, you can use the code JF10, and that'll get you a 10% discount. So the IMN website, and then use the code JF10, and it gets you a 10% discount. You'll meet Steve, myself, a whole bunch of other people. And Steve, I went to a condo sales center opening yesterday that was attended by all kinds of people. So keep that in the back of your minds. We're going to talk a little bit about the Miami, the South Florida condo market with Steve right after this. It's going to be some great info you'll be able to make, use to make some great real estate decisions. So play us some music, Wanda.